The Millennial Express, plowing ever onward through a northern winter. From station to station, bringing the dissident right to you.
Welcome back to Millennial 2023. And now, 1 hour late, I'm afraid. Sorry about that. I'm here with Zeitgeist Reviews. Now, this is a website, a new website that started, I don't know exactly when. I believe it was this year, but we'll get to that. That enables people to see honest reviews of films that they might be considering in order to escape. In order to help people to escape and avoid the poison that is so plentiful nowadays in the media. So welcome to Millennial, and this is your debut, of course. And please introduce yourself in as much detail as you want, and then we'll talk about the website.
Hello, my name is Michael. We'll just leave it at that for now. Yeah, this is actually not the debut. It is for this site, but some of you might have already heard me before on Joel Davis's podcast maybe 2 years ago as Right Wing Tomatoes. And I changed the name because it started to attract a lot of like TPS USA people and kind of cuck-servative types. And for me, having racial demographic filters was like non-negotiable, and that would scare them away. And I tried for years. I've been like going to different events and asking people, and I mailed Republican headquarters all over the United States, and I was just like hitting a brick wall. And I just said, and I just kind of got sick of the right left false dichotomy. And I'm still a right winger, and the site is obviously right leaning. There's woke filters. There's tons of stuff I'll get into in a sec. But yeah, it's been a long process, and actually, it's kind of embarrassing how many times I've changed the name. But I've been working on this for like 6 years. And actually, Morgoth's review, he had an ad from my site because it was originally called STFU Hollywood. And so, yeah, basically, I'm an amateur guy. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And it just started because I was just so sick of Hollywood and the degeneracy and the propaganda. And I was kind of a normie back then. You know, you start to look into it, you think it's like Chi-Coms or whatever. So it started with just basic, like just frustration. And then I slowly evolved, like I think a lot of us did, and had a more nuanced opinion. Looked into that documentary, what is it? An Empire of Their Own, which is a book. We won't get into that, but it's JQ related. And I just kept going down the rabbit hole and trying things and seeing what worked, what didn't. And now it's the most massive database in the world, I think, of demographics, because we use facial recognition, surname analysis. And there's been some people who write reviews, and that's a lot harder to get a social network to work. I think we can look at Gab. Gab is a great success, but it's still kind of a ghost town. Even with, you know, whatever it's got, 100,000 people, it's kind of an echo chamber. So that's been my biggest struggle. And so for the past years, I've just been thinking, okay, what else can I do? So I added, for example, the Rotten Tomatoes. Everyone knows that a good proxy to see if it's propaganda BS is if the critics say it's, you know, 100%, this is the most amazing thing ever, and then audiences hate it.
Yeah, that's a really good idea, because I can't think of any review site more likely to do that than Rotten Tomatoes, as we would see here. But I'll use the American pronunciation. And so it actually serves as a very useful barometer of what to avoid. If it's got a high score on there, then it's probably poison.
Facts. Yeah, and there's tons of stuff like that. Did you have the video? Maybe that would help. That'd be a good intro. That's like the fastest way. Instead of me rambling, it's a 2-minute music video I made that shows all the cool filters we got.
Yes. Let me just... I actually forgot to download that. I don't know how on earth I made that mistake. If you want to keep introducing that, just talk about the website in broad terms, and then I'll prepare this in the background.
Sure. Yeah, I think another one, a lot of it, people don't see this, and I know you understand this because of all the work that goes into Millennial, and I know you make your own website and you have the back end, front end. So much stuff goes into it, and a lot of it's just trial and error and debugging stuff. And so there's very few times where I can really update and go, look at this really cool feature. And a lot of features just don't work. So a perfect example of that is, I think we all saw that, like with Black Panther, the Chinese website, Duobon, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but they said it was translated, like Google Translate, and they said it was a torture for the eyes. It was too dark. It, you know, they're not PC. They're very racist over there. So I thought, oh, that's a great idea. I'll, you know, it's hard to get a lot of people to write reviews. We have them. We have some anonymous reviews you can write. And like I said, it's just kind of a struggle. So I thought, well, there's already this website. So we import all those, and it's pretty good. But sadly, if you look, so we did a Dutch, you know, review site, a Japanese review site, Chinese, et cetera, Russian, and they're really not that different. If you look at the average star ratings, it's pretty similar to IMDb. So that's kind of unfortunate. But the cool thing is you can click on in the website, you can click those links and then read the Google Translate reviews and get a little nuanced stuff. What else? I don't know if the video is still loading, but it's
processing now. I actually had downloaded it. I was panicking. Anyway, it's processing now, so it won't be long. Just a minute or so. But I have to say at the outset, I just want to tell people, I think this is a really good idea for a website. And that's why I invited Michael on to talk about it. It's not that, I'm not wasting people's time here. I think this is a very good idea, and I hope that people do take to it. Okay, here is the 2-minute advert for it that you put together. Here we go.
Netflix is ass. Fucking cinema has been destroyed, more or less.
Oh, yeah, it's over. You can't find anything. I mean,
there's good. There's stuff like Uncut Gems and stuff. There's still good things being made, but it's like the ratio of good to McDonald's is way.
I don't have time to hunt.
Yeah, I don't have time for either.
And I don't have time to listen to people who would say anything for money too. Like, yeah, sure, the A24 shit's gonna be dope. Cool. I believe you.
Yeah.
Find it for me, though.
This is a very fast-paced advert. Would you like to explain to people what they just saw?
Yeah, so I think that's a lot better than me rambling, right? So I'm glad we got that out of the way. Yeah, I'm proud of it, man. I think this is awesome, and I think that's the best aspect of it is the filters, is finding a way to filter out the pause. And one of the things that drives me nuts is I think a lot of right-leaning people and conservatives, we have a natural... You know, the whole red pill thing, I think we have a genetic predisposition to just accept reality as it is. And one of the problems with that is we just kind of shrug and we go, well, you know, Hollywood's dying, just who cares? And it's like, no, like we need to work together. I think The Northman was a great example of a movie that came out recently that was amazing. And these filters are ways that you can find that. So obviously you can just look at like an all white cast or just white stars or something. You don't need to have like 100%, but you know, 70%. And then the other thing that I'm proud of too, and again, this is just because of, like I was saying, just trial and error. Some things work, some things don't, but the IMDb keywords, this is an insanely large database that we've scraped, and it's for pretty much every movie. And so this is crowdsourced by other people who use IMDb. And so you can look at certain words that are most likely woke. I know a lot of leftists will say like, what is woke? What does that mean? And as you said in another stream, it's basically just means SJW, anything about equality, any of that. So
when leftists ask what woke is, they're just pissing around.
Yeah, no, I know
absolutely what it is.
I know. And it's annoying, especially because as the autist side of this, I have to quantify it. You need to have an array that goes through the words and converts them, you know. But yeah, I know they're just taking the piss. And but yeah, it's one other conversation. But yeah, likewise for LGBTQ words or anything like that, there's some false positives. So soon we'll, you know, put all of this data into like AI and just suggest movies for you. But right now, the best thing that I think it does is another thing that kind of bugs me is a lot of people will say, oh, I don't watch movies. I just watch racist documentaries on BitChute. Yeah, right. Like we all know that your girlfriend has a Netflix account or something like that, or your friend drags you to movies. So the idea is to just at least limit the amount of pause that you're seeing. And so one of the things you can do is you can, you know, check Netflix, HBO Max, whatever your girlfriend or your mom or whatever's subscribed to, and then just change the release date. That's the main thing I do. I do anything before 1998 is pretty safe based on a true story, things like that. Yeah, but the filters, they're endless, man. I could talk all day about it. There's never ending filters.
Go into it.
Yeah, well, one of the ones that we're about to add is the Metacritic. So again, I keep thinking of ways like proxies to find good movies, good games. And so Metacritic has the same thing that Rotten Tomatoes has, or Rotten Tomatoes, is the user versus critic thing. And then so what we do is you can filter it by the largest gap. So if there's a huge gap, those ones that rank at the very top, then obviously that's a sign that it's kind of like a basically a proxy for a populist filter. Yeah, what else? If I see let me look at the website. You can go to ZG Reviews. This is one of the things we're trying to make it easier because I know Zeitgeist Reviews is too long to type. So if you do ZG Reviews, and we're working on SEO so that you can just type ZR plus the movie you want to see reviewed. But again, this is a big process. And I'm a security guard. I work graveyards. So like it's a working class salary. That's why it's taken 7 years, but I'm just stubborn. I don't know, stubborn and autistic a little bit. So yeah, if you go there, you can
ask if you have professional web development experience, because that was another thing. I think it really matters that a website looks good because it inspires confidence. Nobody wants to use a website that looks crap.
Right.
Nobody, in spite of what they say. And obviously we cut each other slack within the movement because we know how difficult it is and we don't want to be cruel to each other and all that. Hmm. But I think this still matters. And that's why I'd like to applaud you on that, because I think that this website does look good and it's important.
Well, that means a lot, man. I appreciate that because, yeah, if I want to – a big part of the thing I want to say, and we'll keep this short. I'll try to end this early, keep it on schedule. But one of the things I wanted to do is give advice to people, other people in the dissident right who have ideas for nonprofits or whatever, because there's so many things I've learned that I wish I knew back then that part of it, you know, you just got to learn through trial and error. But no, I didn't even know what an RSS feed was when I first started the STFU Hollywood thing. I was just blogging and I was just manually doing it, listening to nonstop self-help and business and stuff. And it looked god awful. Ask Morgoth, if see if he remembers. The STFU Hall, it looked like a 90s. And I'm still like, I'm a perfectionist. I still look at my site now and I just, oh, there's so many things I cringe about. But that perfectionism is why I didn't give up and I just kept going. And yeah, so at the beginning, I didn't even know what an RSS feed was. I taught myself Python. I taught myself all these things, CSS, just the basic code. But then I kind of learned listening to all these like business books and entrepreneurs that you've got to find that line. It's different for everybody of delegation. And that's one of the things that if you're looking into this, I've talked to other like anons to say, hey, I have this idea to do this. And it's like, there's too many things. You got to focus on just one. That was a mistake I made. I spread myself too thin. And also, like, you know, for me, I don't have the money to hire a professional team. So I had no choice but to kind of teach myself. But I think the goal for anybody else that's looking at this is think about it in terms of time. And you're just trying to learn as much code as is necessary so that you can delegate better. Because I think we've all had like a boss, you know, I've worked shitty retail jobs or whatever, and they've never worked on the floor. And so they give you advice that's trash. So I don't regret learning Python or like really, you know, fundamental. But once I realized, look, I just need to go full on, and I just donated basically 90% of my salary to this Ukrainian web developer I met. And we clicked. I used to live in Russia. It's a long story. But we kind of clicked. And then now I put that on him. And then I try to focus on marketing or like trying to talk to users and see what they want. And which real quick, that would be a huge help for anybody. If you see something you think's cringe, or if you have an idea, if you say, hey, you know, you guys should add this feature, please. That helps, because he and I kind of debate and we go, what should we do? And it really helps to have some guidance, because we don't really, you know, we're just like fumbling around. And
that's the thing. That's the thing. You know, you can be behind the scenes of something and you lose sight, and you can be working on it all the time and thinking about how to improve it, but you can lose sight of how it actually is for someone coming in from the other direction and seeing it for the first time and not knowing what it does, what it is, how it works, how to use it. So these kinds of tips are often, this is why I do, like, occasionally I'll do a poll on, you know, was the tone of Millennial better this year? Like the graphics, was it better this year or last year? This kind of thing, because obviously, I do have my own, and this applies to everyone, Michael as well. We do have our own idea of how to do something, but we need to know how it lands with people in general. And this is why, you know, market research is done by companies and so on. It's very useful.
Hmm. Yeah, and I know that's been a reoccurring theme throughout other streams, and this Millennial is, there's a huge shortage of money with us. And I have like a DIY punk kind of background, and it's the WASP American pull yourself up from your bootstraps kind of libertarian BS that kept me going. But I've learned, like, man, if I would have just, there's a balance of being like, hey, I'm going to do it myself. And then also learning, like, no, dude, you need money. You need funding. Start there. So yeah, let me say that. That's one thing that I really wish I would have done a long time ago. Cause for the past, like, part of how I got on Millennial is I did a thing, you know, all these business books, they say sales is a numbers game. So I literally did a promise myself. I said, okay, 90 days, I'm going to do 10 or more cold calls to people, you know, e-celebs and say, and so I just want to say that you're a real one. A lot of people, they wanted a lot of money that I just, it's not in the budget. I'm a fucking security guard working graveyards. Like, I don't have the money for this. Like, there's certain, I could hire a graphic designer. I could hire people, and I have to outsource it to some dude in Ukraine and like his friends and whatever. So I really do appreciate that you put a lot of us like small guys who, you know, it's clearly an altruistic endeavor. So thank you for that. But
I'm surprised, because it doesn't cost me anything to post an advert on Telegram or Twitter or whatever. So if I can do it, obviously I'm going to do it. I don't understand why anyone would demand payment to do something like that.
Yeah. Well, I don't
know. Maybe that's why. I don't know. There's ruthlessness in some people, but then they do well.
Right. Well, and it depends too. And let me be fair, is that I was experimenting with the cold call. You know, that's why they say that it's a numbers game, and I was kind of perfecting it. I kind of spurg out in the email. I think I spurged out with you too. And I send like this long thing, and I just kind of, I perfected it, and I would look, okay, which ones actually got responses, and money talks. And I was like, hey, you know, how much would it cost? And you were like, no, don't worry about it. And other people gave discounts and stuff. Shout out to iHypocrite. He had an ad, one of my ads on his thing. And same with Survive the Jive. And they gave discounts, you know. So, like, they're also real. Like, so there's nothing wrong with money. I'm not a fucking communist. I don't think there's any, you know, I don't think we have to be 100% altruistic. But I do appreciate it. But anyways, the point of that, the message I wanted to give to other, like, Anons who have project ideas where they want to help somehow the movement or, you know, adjacent stuff. Like, even if it's, you want to ban seed oils. And that's kind of something that's with us, but not, you know, explicitly white, whatever your thing is. If it's services, not goods, I would get funding first. If it's goods, like if it's, dissident soaps, I think you can make profit right away. But for something like my, you know, it's a social network. You're going to be in the red. Even if you're a professional business and you don't have any political baggage, you're going to be in the red for all these startups for like the first 2-3 years with help. So I'm kind of kicking myself and I wish I did that. And the other thing that I wish I would have done a long time ago is that I went. And so I tried this. I actually got a billboard. What's his name? I forgot. I don't know. Some cartoonist in our movement saw it. He was on a road trip. He's like, who the hell did this? I'm like, hey, that was me. A lot of what I wish I would have done has not been as so explicit. Ambiguity is our friend. And I know people will call you an optics cuck and this and that, but like, if you look at the Louis Theroux documentary on Nick Fuentes, listen to your enemy. He's our enemy. He doesn't like us. And at the end, he's like, man, it's kind of hard. And we don't really know what they are. And it used to be easy back in the day. These like oi punk kind of like far right people. It was very clear. Like, you're a bad guy. We're going to, you know, debank you. But now it's like these weird, blurry lines. That is your friend. So now what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get funding. And so what I would suggest to people, if you're in America, I'm sorry, I don't know UK that well, but in America, get an LLC or like start a nonprofit, and then don't say, hey, we're the fucking dissident white people LLC. No, say something like, you know, we love diversity LLC or whatever, or something, you know, in the middle, just like, you know, apolitical, like the Heart LLC or something, and then pitch it to these companies. And, you know, you can still do it legal. You don't lie about what you're going to do, but kind of, you know, put it at a slant and you will be able to get the money. And two organizations, last thing I'll say on that, and I'll shut up, is that SCORE and SBDC, and again, this is an America-only thing, I think, I'm sorry, but it's the Small Business Development Center, and they have one in like every city and every state in America. And of course, like I said, you can't go to them and be like, hey, I want to do something for the white race. They'll be like, okay, get out of my office. But if you go to them and you'll find mentors, you'll have people that will save you tons of headache, tons of wasted money, stuff that I wish I would have known a long time ago. And same thing with SCORE. That's more like mentors specifically. SBDC will, there's like an expert for each thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's very useful advice. I think people, especially when they're young or when they're getting into entrepreneurship or, you know, doing a project on their own for the first time at whatever age, there are all sorts of pitfalls. All sorts of, like, and yeah, you can do with all sorts of advice. I mean, you should all ask people who've done this kind of thing before, and they'll tell you, don't do this. I know it sounds like a good idea. It looks good, but don't do this. here's what to avoid. So yeah, I second that advice. Delegation as well. It's something that I'm generally not good at because I like to, but that doesn't matter. It's my own thing. To get back to the website then, how would you, I guess it's a question that if you were starting it now, you would know exactly how to do it.
But right.
6 years ago, it was necessary to fumble around because you didn't know anything.
Right. Yeah. And so I don't regret anything. So I say this and I'm kind of kicking myself because hindsight's 20/20, but I don't regret anything. And even if I went back in time and told myself how many years and tens of thousands of dollars, like, it's sickening the amount of time I've spent on it, that I'm like, you know, sometimes I'm like, dude, I just want to donate this to like Amarin or Countercurrent. Like, I just want, I'm done. Like, cause now I know the business and I could make profits and I could, there's so many other things. I'm tired of this, but I'm just like, I've got this, I don't know if it's a, what is that called? It's a
OCD.
Well, that for sure. You know, anybody in the distant right, we're all a little bit autistic, whatever. No, it's a yeah, you name it. I've got all the
guilty. Guilty as charged. Yeah,
no, lost cost fallacy. It's when you put so much time into something, like, you know, with stocks.
Oh, yeah, just like, yeah, you know, the sunk cost fallacy. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, so I don't know if it's that, I don't know, but or the arrogant American, like, biting off more than you can chew and saying, fuck it, I'm gonna chew it. I would still do it. Like, I don't, because those are things I didn't know. Because yeah, back then I was still kind of like Macapede, you know, I wasn't that goofy, but still I was a little bit like the Chi-Coms, and I get, you know, I didn't really know and I had no idea. Let me say that real quick. This is something that I think is very fascinating that I would not have known if I wasn't just trying to quantify ways to avoid the pause in Hollywood. One thing, you know, obviously there's the tribe, the people who founded it. That's, you know, we can talk about that on another stream. That's a big part. I don't want to downplay that. I have those filters on the site. I want to make that clear, but that's a conversation for another time. I don't want to get the UK hate laws or anything, But another aspect that's I think a good example that they're not always the person to blame is with anime, is that I've noticed that good anime is roughly 20 episodes or something, 26, something like that. Because any show, even Seinfeld or whatever, American shows, after like five seasons, it becomes a business. And I think it's a good microcosm or parallel of civilizations, is that there's this, you know, there's that bottom 80% who just want a piece of the pie, you know, the parasites, the, you know, the, what is that? The slave morality, whatever. There's a whole bunch of different kind of, trends that people have noticed about this, and we see it in Hollywood. And so I started to add indie filters. I was trying to rebrand. I was like, okay, I need to get funding. This is a little bit too edgy, too far right. So I tried to add indie filters, or I did. And so we're all sick of reboots. We're all sick of all that stuff. So you can filter out reboots. You can filter all that. And as I was doing this, I realized that it's not just low budget that makes it good. Because, and a perfect example of this is Peter Jackson. Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings is fucking amazing. And he had a huge budget for that. And back in the day, he was doing, he's the guy who did Dead Alive, right?
Yes.
So these, like, you know, cheesy horror movies from the 80s, and those are amazing as well. So as long as he has creative control, he'll make good stuff. So I'm obviously a big fan of low budget. I think 28 Days Later was much better than 28 Weeks Later. And these big Hollywood companies will get in and mess with stuff. But I think if you have creative control, big budget stuff can be good. So if you look at 80s movies with big budgets, they're still pretty good, you know? I don't know if that fall. I don't know if you
agree with that. That's what I was looking at, his IMDb page, just to make sure about Peter Jackson. He did Bad Taste, Brain Dead, the Valley. He certainly. So I remember seeing the VHS of Bad Taste in the video shop in the late 80s, and it just, even to a child, it looked frighteningly bad. I don't know if it's a good film. The point I'm making is that it was low budget,
right? Not all. And that was that was the thing, is that, like, I remember seeing a Sam Hyde video talking about how shitty Trauma is and how that's like poison for your soul, or the Window, you know, these like movies that are so bad they're good kind of stuff, and you think that you're the smart one watching it. That was kind of his take. I don't know if I agree 100%, but he has a point. Like,
he has a point. I mean, there's always the hipster who is watching pretentious rubbish that but he tells himself it's sophisticated,
right? That's the
thing. But I think generally speaking, it is true that the bigger the budget, the worse the film.
Right.
Partly because it has to appeal to a huge number of people in order to recoup the budget. So it's going to be crap. It's going to be lowbrow, brainless twaddle.
Yeah.
That's a fact. The other thing is that with a low budget, you just have to rely on the script and the acting and the directing.
Yeah.
And therefore you're seeing more human ingenuity. And I really enjoy that. Like the first Terminator film versus the second Terminator film. The second one's probably objectively the better film. But I personally prefer the first one because you know he did it with almost nothing. And I really admire that. I really get off on that.
And that's been my thing. Globalism has screwed up a lot of stuff. And that's one of the ways that you can guarantee that it'll appeal to all audiences, is because humor, satire, human relations, that's all dependent on each nation. So with China, they want to see, you know, Fast and Furious 5 and the explosions and whatever. And that's even true with us. I mean, I watched With Nail and I finally, I was like, okay, I'm going to be on Millennial. I guess I'll finally watch that. I'd seen that you loved it. And it was great. I liked it, but I know for a fact, a lot of it went over my head because I'm not from the UK. And I think this is true for Aronofsky's The Whale. I know a lot of people make fun of it because it's a fat gay dude and, you know, it's very easily memeable, but I thought that was a beautiful movie. And a lot of it was that same kind of, it just captured the Midwest. You know, and it's depressing. And so if you're not from there, you're just like, oh, this is just a gross, you know, McDonald's Amerimut kind of, you know, I get that it's not appealing to other people. But for me, it was like, that's kind of, I don't want to say nostalgic, but it just kind of, it was a good snapshot that was very relatable.
I understand. You recognize the world that it's showing you.
Hmm.
Yeah, I completely understand. I think that's a big thing. And with Nil and I, I'm not going to go into a rant about this, but yeah, it is a very British film. And I wouldn't really expect it to mean much to people from outside Britain, unless they were Anglophiles and, you know, really enjoy into the culture and knowledgeable about the culture. But that's fine, because it only cost $1 million to make. It didn't cost $100 million, so it didn't need to appeal to, you know, everyone, the Chinese and the Americans and the Russians and the French. It's fine. It was only $1 million. And so they can get away with that. But as it happens, it's become a cult film. And yeah, I'm sure it's recouped that budget 100 times over the years, I would expect.
Right.
Well, not 100 times, but yeah.
Yeah. Right. And that's the main goal. I want to make that kind of clear with everyone, is that I'm not a hipster, or, well, you know, every hipster doesn't want to call themselves one. But anyways, I'm not like some like movie snob. The point of these filters is exactly for that, is that you can filter the country. Like any filter you can think of, our site has it. The front page is maybe not the most impressive. It's not dynamic. We're working on that. But if you go to the search, you'll be like, holy shit, like anything you think of. So if you want to see a movie that was filmed in Scotland, you can see that, and you can go through by country, and you can even use surnames for the actors if you want, you know. And this is kind of wonky, because some actors, you know, it's like it's a black dude who has a surname of his owners, you know, and it says they're like Swedish, but whatever. For the most part, you can filter it and find something that speaks to you and your people. Or for your children, if you want them to see, you know, their something that you know resonates with them, you can see that. And one other thing, real quick, and then I know I'm very cognizant of the time. I'll try to cut this short. But one other thing that
we've got like 25 minutes. It's fine.
All right, appreciate you. Yeah, one thing that really bugs me, because again, this is basically like my thesis for the past like 7 years. I've just been going in and the analytics, that's insane. But one thing that I keep running into with right wingers, and again, I identify as a right winger, like I'm pretty far right. But, you know, the reason I don't want the site, I just want the site to be like Odyssey. But anyways, one thing that I don't like about right wingers is that I think we're too black and white. And this is why the left are so good at propaganda. And so you see, like, you know, the Daily Wire doing lady balls and stuff like that. Like, everything's got to be so beat you over the head with it. You know, like, that's how a lot of us are. Like, again, you know, OCD, autistic, ADHD, whatever. So we want to see graphs and charts and the bell curve. And, like, that's how we got red-pilled. But a lot of people need music and art and feeling and narrative. And so these movies like Hillary's America or Unplanned, like, that's just red meat for the base. Whereas true propaganda is, I don't think you should plan like, okay, how can I get my message out? Your message will come out whether you want it to or not. Because I think if you just make art, it's going to come out. And this was kind of your take on with Nail and I, is that I don't think he sought out to, and you'd say probably for a fact, he didn't mean for it to be right wing. And yet that's something maybe in his subconscious or the, you know, the collective unconscious or whatever it is, he created this art and he put it out there, and this is what it represented. And I think we should do that. We just need to make art. And I think, you know, last thing on that is that you put a target on your back. Because when I first started this site, I was like, oh, I want to help other like right-wing artists. And I make, you know, goofy animations and stuff. And it's just, you know, there's so much censorship and it's just like really demoralizing. So I made a site called Cultural Reconquista. And, you know, again, I'm great with these names, right? All of them are pretty cringe. But in it, it just put a target on people's backs, because you see it and they go, oh, cool, we're going to ban that. And a perfect example of this is the website Find My Friends. There's an Antifa guy who made a GitHub. He made code to where it just scrapes that, and then it automatically flags all the links in there. And so we're, you know, because we're going against this huge behemoth, I think there is, you know, and again, I know it's, you know, optics, cucks, this and that, but I think Sam Hyde is a perfect example where he's very coy and you're like, what does he actually believe? And he's done so much to put our ideas out there. You know, so there's nothing wrong. Like, I love Murdoch, very explicit, but they're the exception, not the rule. I think usually when you try that, it's just too, it makes the art suffer.
You know what I mean? You know, when the left were implementing their ideas in Hollywood, they didn't have film studios called commie productions.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, because that's obviously tone deaf and just, as you say, painting a target on your back. So I don't think that we should be doing things like that. I think it's crass and crude, and it just alienates the public. It just makes them run a mile. So don't do it.
Yeah. But to play devil's advocate and also to kind of shout out a guy, I think he passed away, so rest in peace. Jeff Winston, he did whitearcollective.com. And so, you know, it just depends on what your goals are. That was a beautiful site, beautiful project. I think it's still going. His wife, if anybody, you know, in the chat knows them.
Great. Yeah. I mean, look, I don't want to
disparage. Good stuff.
I don't want to disparage their work. I'm just saying I wouldn't have called it that. Because, and I actually said that to him back at the time. Because I just, for all the reasons we're seeing here, I think it turns people away. However, you know, RIP, Jeff, and I don't mean him to disparage him or his work in any way. I want to underline that. He just had a different approach to this from the one that I would have used. But then I didn't do it. You know, I didn't create an art collective. So, you know, good on him for doing that. Again, so, I don't want to diminish that at all.
And he was one of the first few people who kind of like put my site on his and all that. So that's why I really appreciate that. But obviously I think the same. That's why my train of thought went there, because I was thinking of that. And I think it's kind of like when we look at Charlottesville, we learn from our mistakes. So it's easy. Hindsight's 20/20. You go, oh, don't do that. And that's part of why I changed my name. It's not because I'm trying to sell out or whatever. It's because I put a target on my back. If you look up Right Wing Tomatoes, there was, I know this is going to sound conspiratorial, but there was a person on Reddit. And I got like no views at this time. The site's doing better now and it did better after the interview, but I got like five people, you know, it's when I was first starting it. So there's like no one, five a day. And one day someone wrote this really unhinged, excuse me, really unhinged. It sounded like a caricature of what a left-wing person thinks a right-winger was. They said, oh, Loki is secretly the Christian. And it was just this insane schizo ramble. And they said, we need to kill. I hope he dies in hell. And you're like, what the hell? Excuse me. Anyways, that very following day, they posted a screenshot of that on Reddit. And then in the comments, that same person was saying, I think we need to get this site shut down. We should tell the FBI. And this would happen to me over and over. I would either attract TPUSA people who are like, whoa, what's with the racial filters, or, you know, LGBT, that's not okay. Or I'd get these Antifa people, and every day there's trolls. And so I just thought, I'm done. And ever since I rebranded, I don't have to deal with any of that. You know, I can float under the radar. So, you know, knowing what we know now, maybe Jeff might not have named it that. And one other thing too, real quick on that, is that there's a HBO show. It was Louis C.K., Ricky Gervais, Chris Rock, and Jerry Seinfeld. It's called Talking Funny. And Jerry Seinfeld was talking about one time Louis C.K. introduced him. And he said, this is the funniest guy ever. And he's so hilarious. And then after they came off, he's like, what the hell? Don't you ever do that again. And that's, I think, the other aspect is not even the target on your back about getting flagged and doxxed and yada, yada, is that people go, oh, and they cross their arms and they go, oh, you think you're right wing and you're good at art, huh? And they like, even fellow right wingers or other right wingers will be like, you know, your expectations are way, way too high, to where it's like, it's hard to please them. So I think it's best to just make art. And then we should kind of coordinate together to support it, whether it's the intention or not, whether they're hiding their power level, whether it's, you know, with Nail and I or the Northman guy, he wasn't pro white at all, but that was a very pro white movie. And I told everybody, I said, you got to go see this movie. You got to support it. Cause you know, we need more movies made like that.
Yeah, I agree with regard to with Nail and I know that the director didn't mean these, you know, cause I did this a speech about it in 2017, and I talked about moral lessons that we can draw from Withnell and I. And someone said, and I think a few lefties commented under the video saying, how can you think that he meant these moral lessons, these right-wing moral lessons from when he made this film? And the answer is, I don't. Any more than I think a guy who has some terrible accident intended to have that terrible accident and is thus was thus teaching us these moral lessons. Not at all. I think he did it quite inadvertently. I think that he showed us the late 60s and couldn't help but show us that the country was in decline. I mean, it's inadvertent. I think this is a thing with the left. Sometimes they do this, and they definitely don't mean to. I mean, I think the lesson you're supposed to take from Withnell and I is that, oh, if only the late 60s could have continued forever and the endless hippie moment. Well, I don't want that because you can see in the film that they'd already destroyed a lot of what they themselves valued about Britain. Mm. So, I mean, it was retarded. It's not that the those lessons were intended by Bruce Robinson, not at all. I think he, for what it's worth, I think that he is an unconscious conservative in the way that most people are, certainly after a certain age. They start to think and they start to feel more attached to the past than the present, you know, because they remember the past fondly and the present baffles them. So, I think a lot of people, and also thoughtful, sensitive people, a lot of them are unconsciously conservative because they actually don't want endless chaotic change.
Right.
And again, I think that applies to him as well. So that makes him a sort of unconscious conservative. But that does not mean that I think he's going to go out and vote conservative in an election. Of course not. He'll be vociferous about opposing conservatism in his own life. But that just shows his lack of self-reflection. Now, I'm not saying that this is true. I don't know the guy, and it really doesn't matter. I'm just saying I'm certain that a lot of leftists are like this. The one drive within them tells them to destroy that which delights another drive within them. Like the drive for change makes them destroy home, which means a lot to them. So it's just, people are complicated.
Right.
But to get back to the website, I wanted to ask you, did you design it with parents in mind? Because obviously a big thing nowadays is how to keep your, and to what extent, to keep your children insulated from the pods.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I'm sorry. It's funny, too, because I used to be a teacher for years. I love kids. I'm great with kids, but I don't have any of my own, unfortunately. Hope to change that, get some more white babies. But that's a huge feature. I space that. So it's family friendly. That's part of where these LGBT tags come. I don't know. It would be better if I prepared a video like of the website, but users can go. They can check the website. There's a little family friendly icon, and we break it down like we do with everything on the site, very autistically. And it literally, so again, IMDb is one of the best places to scrape stuff from. They have a parental guide, and again, it's crowdsourced. So you can look and you can see the nudity, violence, profanity, alcohol, how frightening it is. And then we make it very simple to see. We say it's mild, severe, and then you can click content breakdown. And then we go through every single country. What did they rate it? You know, Brazil 18, da da da. And then they will show you exactly what happens, which I hate spoilers. So that's part of why I kind of space this. I don't ever look at this. And also I'm a grown ass man, but if you look at, like, for example, the profanity, it'll say the occasional uses of the F word and shit throughout some episodes, or like sex, it'll describe the specific scene. And this is very useful because I think some of the people listening, they have young adults, teenagers, where you're not really worried about what's in it. You just are more worried about the propaganda aspect, the degeneracy, not sex and drugs, you know, in and of themselves, but what is in it. And so you can look at that breakdown and it'll tell you there was a transgender man who raped or whatever it is. Right. And then we haven't done it yet. We're going to add it to where you can filter by this breakdown, but at the very least you can just see the aggregate of how family friendly it is. A 3 to 5 is like, you'll see it, the number or the color is green. It's very, I think it's very intuitive. I think everyone should be able to navigate the site pretty easily. If you have kids, that's an easy way to do it. And then you can exclude LGBT stuff. That was the main reason we added the LGBT filters, was because of this sickening, man. Because I don't care. I have gay friends or whatever, but the Muppets, it's baby Muppets, bro. It's for, they're toddlers. It's insane. And they go, I'm Gonzarella. I'm a, like,
oh my God.
And that's not a one-off. And I just kept seeing one after another. And we saw the Disney CEO saying, I'm proud. And it's accelerating. It's getting more, which is why I really don't like the conservative and right-leaning predisposition to fatalism, where you just go, oh, Hollywood's dying. Ha ha, whatever. And I go, no, we need to put our metaphorical boot on its neck, because yeah, Hollywood's dead, but now they're in Netflix and it's Obama stuff. And like, they're in, whether it's streaming or AI, whatever's in the future, you know, they're going to find a way to try to shove propaganda as much as they can. They're losing the battle. I'm very white-pilled. I'm very optimistic. Decentralization. things are looking up, but let's not rest on our laurels. We need to, you know, that's why I do the site. I want people to work together so we can say, don't watch this movie. Don't waste your time. I don't know the term I'm looking for, but they like, you know, they try to use bait. They go, hey, it's a, like you were talking about the other day, Napoleon.
Red meat.
Not red meat, but just it's, you know, they say like it's Napoleon. It's a great man. You and I, hypocrite. You said, yeah, and you want to see it. They just use bait for like, this is why there's so many reboots, because nobody likes Hollywood now. Everyone hates it, even normies and left-leaning people. But you go, oh, yeah, I'm kind of nostalgic. I guess I'll see Mario. And then somehow they'll find a way to shove in screw white people, pro tranny, you know, there's always something like that. So I don't know. I get the need to kind of give up completely, but there still are a few hidden gems in there, like The Northman that came out recently. There's a few of those in there. And if we had word of mouth, we'd be able to support them and get more art. But at the very least, at least you can use my site to just like anything before 2000, like white male star. I don't know.
Yeah. I think this, one thing that occurred to me earlier was that if there are people listening who post reviews on Amazon or on IMDb or any other review website, would it be a good idea for them to copy their reviews over to Zeitgeist?
Yes, please. So that's the main thing I need help with is feedback, please. Like I was saying earlier, let me know, say this is cringe or please add this, whatever. Reviews. You can have a VPN, you can have hide behind 7 VPNs, use it anonymous. And one of the things we're going to add soon, which hasn't been added yet, is if you have a Letterboxd or however the hell you say that, or an IMDb or whatever, all of our competitors, we're working on it now to where you'll be able to copy and paste the link and then import that list or those reviews. Or like, remember BitChute and Odyssey? I think Odyssey has this. I know BitChute did, where you could link, and even Gab did it, so you can link to their competitor and it'll just auto import. So we're working on that. But again, yeah, working class salary, you know, everything's prioritized. It's like a slow and steady trudge. But yeah, that is 100% coming.
Is there any way for people to donate to you?
Yes. And let me say this too. I really appreciate any help anybody gives. Shout out to Mondo Mirth and Bertie Blau. I don't know if I'm saying that right. It's a Dutch guy. They were like two guys that kept writing regular reviews. They kind of stopped, you know, and even I stopped writing reviews sometimes. I love you guys. I appreciate you. You're the reason I keep going even after 7 years. And whoever you are, I have one Patreon who gives $5 a month. It's nothing compared to how much I spend on my own, but I fucking love you. You're the reason I keep doing it. So yeah, I have a Patreon. If you just go to the website, zgreviews.com or zeitgeistreviews.com, again, working on SEO. If you scroll to the bottom, all the links are there to donate, or I believe it's zgreviews.com/help. And you can do crypto, you can do whatever. But yeah, I'm trying to get a loan. I'm trying to do the Sam Hyde debt maxing and try to get like a $50,000 loan and just go hard on this. But
well, I mean, look, I think a lot of people listening will surely agree with me when I say that this project and you, that this the man we're listening to here deserves to be supported. He's been working on this for 7 years. He's obviously dedicated. He's plowed so much of his own money into this. And he's creating something that's useful for us as a community. So if anyone deserves to be supported, it's Michael and this project. So please do donate and support him on Patreon if you can. Because I think this is a very worthwhile and worthy project. I'm not just saying that because you're on Millennial. It just seems a no-brainer to me.
Hell yeah. Thank you. That means a lot, man. Again, you know, I think we pride ourselves in being low time preference, all that. And you don't really get in this for the money. I know there's a lot of people joking about grifters, but if you touch the third rail, there's not a lot to grift from in this corner of the internet. So words like yours are what keep me going. Well, yeah. I appreciate it.
I say them sincerely. There was one other thing I wanted to ask you about, and you've alluded to it, and that is the matter of Hollywood dying. It's not connected to the website, it's come up, so I'm going to ask you about it. How total do you think that is, or will be? Do you think Hollywood's, like, what's the phrase, for the birds? do you think it's on the way out completely, or do you think it will always remain to some extent? Because I've said before, I think that Hollywood is nowhere near as central to our culture as it was 20 years ago.
Right. Yes and no. I don't know. There's a great interview with Mel Gibson, St. Mel, and he was interviewed, I think it's for Hacksaw Ridge, and the lady asks him, and there's like a lot of uncomfortable laughter, and I have the clip. I can send it to you later. I don't know. But she asked about Hollywood, and he said, he's like, well, where is Hollywood? He said, we made this in Australia or wherever it was. And then he said, we brought it back, you know, and he said, Hollywood's like a kidney. He's like, it filtered through and we bring back the bacon, and you could feel, you know, you could read between the lines. There was a lot of resentment, like, dude, screw these people. They're still in charge, but like, why are they even in, you know, they're just trying to take their cut. So that's my thing, is that they're amorphous. They will find a way, and then they move to Netflix. So yes and no, like Hollywood is a behemoth. And I think also just, you know, the people who founded Hollywood, they in general are losing their grip on like all of these institutions just because of technology, because of decentralization. So yeah, I don't know. I'm very hopeful. I think it's good, but I think we should accelerate it. I think we should be like a cataclysmic force in getting that over with. And this is kind of a hot take. People will not like me for this, but it's true. This is why I'm a futurist and I'm also a transhumanist. And when I say that, let me clarify. I'm not one of these people that's like, you know, I want to live forever atheist. What I mean is that I have teeth fillings, right? There's stuff in my body that's foreign objects. And it, I think, again, right wingers, we think black and white, and it's just like, it's either this or it's that. It's a gradual process. And so I'm pro technology. And I think technology is mainly, there's certain things that are inevitable, but I think it's best that it's in our hands. And I think decentralization is clearly in our benefit. And the more, you know, I get the instinct to want to just, you know, return to tradition and da da da. I think we should merge it. We should return to tradition, but also move on, go forward, you know? And technology has been a huge thing. And there's even a clip of Jared Taylor talking about this. Like, but he was alone doing this stuff, again, doing the altruistic thing. He just thought he was documenting the death of his people. And he just wanted the history books of some Chinaman in years to come to say, hey, at least there's one guy who's not crazy. He was doing that for like decades. And then finally, and I would argue it's because of the internet, and he said it too, that's why there's been this explosion. And now he's, as he said in Millennial 9, brimming with optimism. That's mainly, so it's weird that people whose entire existence and the reason they know these weird niche, you know, Ted Kaczynski philosophies is because of technology, are anti-technology. But yeah, I'm not a technocrat. I don't like that stuff. I love the cult games. Like, you know, so I want to make that clear. I'm not just for all technology, but it's clear that that's been a huge help in losing their monopoly.
Yeah. I agree. It's because there are alternatives. That's one of the main reasons.
Maybe that was too much of a hot take.
No. That's fine. I think the broad point is an interesting one. Is that you have to take an interest in this. I mean, it's one of the biggest parts of our culture, and it's visibly dying in front of us. I just wonder whether it's going to totally disappear as a cultural force, or whether it will remain in some rotten form. But anyway, to get back to the website, just to close off, I've added your donation links, and those will be front and center. Hopefully, I really do hope that people support this. To finish off then, just summarize about the website and the direction, your aspirations for it, and why people should support it.
So the main things that are coming soon, and again, a lot of the stuff's back end, you know, it's optimization, there's errors, there's bugs I still see that we, you know, that you guys don't care about, we won't update you about. But the two main features that are coming is list building, list comparison. So you'll be able to prove go woke, go broke. We'll have cited sources. We already have that on the analytics on the page. But also so that you can just copy a list, you know, whether it's from, you know, 4chan, Reddit, whatever, Twitter, you can copy and paste, just text, boom, we'll have all the links. You'll filter it by genre. That's coming. And again, if you have an IMDb, all that, we'll be able to link that. And then the other big one is new media. We're all decentralized, and that's been the hardest part, is trying to find a central place to get it. I think a lot of your views just totally drop if you get banned from YouTube. So we're working on a way partly so that we can have reviews from you guys and improve the relevancy algorithm. But at the same time, you'll be able to search all the people you like, all of these content creators, e-celebs, podcasts, and get it in one central spot. But again, it's a long project. You know, that might be months out. I don't know. I'm not going to give up. That's why you should support me, because with or without your help, I'm going to do it. But I would really appreciate it if you help so that we can get it done quicker and so I can give you a better product. Thank you for the time, man. I appreciate you. Seriously.
Oh, you're welcome. There are some super chats.
Oh, yeah, Ben.
I should have looked at them before. Rit Cooley says, really cool site. Thank you very much. I think you're right. And maybe next time says, sold, take my money. Okay. Well, there are on the website, there are at least four ways to do that. Buy me a beer, PayPal, Cash App, and Venmo. And also there are crypto options as well, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Monero, and Litecoin. So people can help out there. And then Black Tie says, how do I add a movie to Zeitgeist Reviews that isn't on IMDb? I'd like to add a film called Baby Teeth that I haven't heard of. But so can you add a movie that isn't on IMDb?
Not yet. We got to work on that. Sorry. That, yeah. Again, we have to prioritize all this stuff of like what's most important. But you giving feedback is how we know to prioritize it. So at the moment, no. Sorry.
Yeah, that's actually a good point, that feedback tells someone which things to do first as well as which things to do. That's right. an important thing. All right. Excellent. Michael from Zeitgeist Reviews. I think this has been very good, very nice, fast-paced, and hopefully helpful for the audience and for you. So thank you for agreeing to appear on Millennial 2023.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
Okay, excellent. I'll be back soon with the next stream. Bye-bye for now.
We hope you're enjoying Millennial. The journey must continue, but it needs your help. Bitcoin, Ethereum, Monero, and other cryptocurrencies are all very welcome. Find the info at millennial.com/crypto and make your donation. Millennial amounts to 3 months of work for the vile vlogger. Please help him continue. Until next time, enjoy the journey and spread the word.